Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Tennessee and Kentucky. You'll hear the game right here tomorrow on 104.5 The Zone. Time to preview this big matchup in Lexington. Dane Bradshaw, our guest. Dane, how are you, man?
Doing great. Always good to be on with you guys.
So, Dane, you had some high praise yesterday from Jerry Meyer of 24/7 Sports describing your game as a high school player at White Station and then at Tennessee. Said that he coached against your team when you were a freshman or a sophomore, and you were with the second five that would sub in, and you were the chubby white kid that came out there, and everyone was like, why is this guy in the game? And then you would always make a play when you checked in. Your thoughts on his assessment of your game?
I greatly appreciate it. I've been very insecure since then, and you bringing up my baby fat.
Sorry to offend.
He's very kind. We had a good run there, man, at White Station. By my junior year, Coach Tippett would sub five-man rotations in, and we literally had a 14-man rotation. So we were winning state, and I mean, I never played, I didn't average more than half the game minutes-wise, I think our leading score was like 8 or 9 points per game. So it was a unique run with a lot of talent and, getting people to buy into the team concept. But nevertheless, I'll take that as a compliment as far as my assessment of the game goes. I don't know why I was in either, but that's
So, Dane, looking at Tennessee versus Kentucky tomorrow night, is the biggest concern for Tennessee going into this game Kentucky's rebounding ability?
Well, to me, yeah, that's always one of the factors, of course. But, P.J. Washington gave Grant Williams a lot of problems last year. I think Kentucky wins that game in Knoxville last year if Washington doesn't go out with some cramps. And he's a year older, year better, as is Grant Williams. So I'm really interested to see if they kind of neutralize each other and if the game really becomes more about, the players outside of Washington and Williams, because usually that's a matchup you go into a game and you say, all right, if you're Tennessee, we're either going to win this matchup or they're going to have to pay so much attention to Williams that he's going to get double-teamed and kick it out, we'll make shots. That's not going to happen this game. I mean, P.J. Washington's going to play him straight up one-on-one. So I think as you look across the matchups, Jordan Bone's playing great, but Ashton Hagen is a bulldog defensively up top. Tyler Hero is a long shooter freshman, but he's got great length and he plays hard defensively. Admiral Schofield certainly outweighs him and can outmuscle him, but Schofield's a perimeter player, so he could be bothered by the length. So I'm just really intrigued by sort of the individual matchups 1 through 5 that I don't think they necessarily give Kentucky an edge, but I think they're so close personnel wise that it's hard to just say, yeah, Tennessee's going to dominate this position or that position.
Dane, looking at those individual matchups, you're right. P.J. Washington in both games gave a lot of trouble to Grant Williams. Do you see Grant Williams matched up on P.J. Washington, or will that be a Kyle Alexander assignment in this game, even though P.J. Washington will be guarding Grant Williams?
Yeah, good question. I would expect to see Williams on Washington, but it could all depend really on how Calipari decides to rotate his lineup. Do they make Washington the five-man with four guards, or do they go big with Washington at the four and somebody like E.J. Montgomery, Nick Richards at the five? And in that case, then you probably have to, keep Williams on Washington. But, one thing that I do think that's beneficial for Tennessee is Ashton Hagen at Kentucky. I mean, he helped turn the season around. Doesn't average a lot of points, but it was the identity and toughness he brought to that team. They're very much a defense-first type team. But he is not a great shooter, and teams have started to figure him out a little bit to where, you know, they're sagging off of him. The offense isn't running as smoothly. And because that tape is now out on sort of how to defend the point guard position for Kentucky, I think that's where it can really play to Tennessee's advantage.
We've been talking about P.J. Washington, and he does guard Grant Williams very well. He gives him fits. But is it encouraging, or how encouraging is it for Tennessee when you see Grant Williams score 8 points against South Carolina, a possible back-to-back SEC player of the year, and you see South Carolina shoot 14 for 23 from three, and Tennessee never leads by less than double digits the entire second half? Does that give you a sign that Tennessee could pull out a win even if they don't get much offensively from Grant Williams in this game?
You know, I think it's another chapter in the book of Tennessee and just finding different ways to win, and they can beat you multiple ways. The only reason I don't, you know, translate that to the Kentucky game as much is because if they allow Kentucky to shoot that well from three, they'll lose, because Kentucky can defend much better and has greater matchups that we've talked about than South Carolina had. I mean, South Carolina was in a position that if you're going to get in a shootout with Tennessee, you're going to lose. But I don't think Kentucky's really going to allow that to happen. They're going to be, you know, when you look at the Florida games, I mean, Tennessee did not have high scoring games against Florida. But, you know, so Florida was able to keep it a little bit more low scoring than maybe other opponents have, but they just don't have, you know, the firepower offensively. And it's not that Kentucky can just light you up necessarily on offense, but they're much more competent on that end than a Florida-type team.
Dane Bradshaw, our guest. Dane, a lot of the players, including Kyle Alexander, for instance, said they're looking forward to this game as much as any other game. What, as a former player, give us the perspective of what they're really thinking in the locker room as they go to Lexington to play the Wildcats?
Yeah, I think there's great leadership there from Admiral Schofield specifically, because he's a senior, and Grant Williams isn't a guy that's going to be like thinking about the NBA or get distracted. But, you know, you just never know when it's going to be your last chance, unless you're an Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander. I mean, to win at Rupp Arena, as much as they had fun doing the Gator Chomp and all that stuff, I mean, winning at Rupp is a whole different level. And you love winning on your own home court. And I've been a part of a team that, you know, where the 20,000 people stormed the court. It was awesome celebrating. But nothing lines up, matches up with winning at Rupp Arena when, you know, it's so hard to hear your own bench the entire game, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the game, the only thing you can hear is your bench. It's a beautiful thing as a Tennessee player. And, you know, the fact that they've had a taste of that last year in a close game, I know that makes them just as hungry to make sure they can try to repeat that.
Dane, you mentioned Tennessee's ability to find ways to win games, and they've consistently done that over the course of the last 2 years. Vanderbilt's on the opposite end of that spectrum right now. They're finding ways to lose games even when they play well on the road at Arkansas, at Florida. They're giving themselves a chance, but they're not able to close the deal. How difficult is that? You've been on teams that won a lot. You've been on teams that lost. How difficult is it to figure out a way to break through, especially in this league?
Well, I really commend them because, you know, yes, there's a couple games I've just gotten away from them, but for the most part, you know, they've competed, and it's just, you know, 2 or 3 minute spans or not closing the game out, like you said, and I think finding ways to lose is really the perfect way to describe it. And, you know, the same way winning becomes contagious, so does losing. And it's just something that you really can't break through until you turn that corner and just find a way to win one, because I've been in those huddles before, and you know, you can just sense either the confidence or the lack of confidence at the end of a game. Like, you know, there's like Tennessee right now, for example, if it's a close game, there's not a doubt in their mind. There's not a single person in that huddle that doesn't believe they're going to win the game. Right now at Vanderbilt, I've been on that side before where you're in the huddle and you're like, boy, I hope we can hang on, you know, or I hope this doesn't happen to us again. I mean, you're not saying that out loud, but it's in the back of everybody's mind like, oh gosh, you know, I hope we don't blow this one, or, you know, something doesn't go wrong again. So it's just, you know, there's really no answer to it other than what Bryce Drew and his team is really doing a great job of, I think, of just continuing to go out there and fight and, you know, hopefully get a breakthrough win just to have the locker room feel good again. And they're just, you know, they're just not very talented right now. And and so much of it. I know people don't want to dwell on the Darius Garland thing so much, but in basketball, man, one player can make that big of a difference, because now all of a sudden, everybody that you see on the court right now could be a very good player in a specific role. But when you're asking them to do things outside of their role, now their weaknesses get exposed, and now the whole team as a whole is average at best.
Dane Bradshaw has been our guest. How do you see the game going tomorrow?
Yeah, really, without being a homer, I promise you, I like Tennessee's hand in this. I really do. I like the experience. I think Kentucky, yes, they're playing well, but I don't put a lot of stock into, they're coming off a loss, so they'll be mad. I mean, they're going to be pumped up for this game no matter what. So I like the way teams are starting to defend Kentucky, with Ashton Hagans having to prove he's got to make an outside shot. And I think that's where Tennessee has the biggest advantage, is they've got guys 1 through 5 that you have to respect their shot and offensive firepower, and I don't think Kentucky has that strength.
Thanks so much, Dane. Appreciate it, man. Always good talking some ball with you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Dane Bradshaw has been our guest. Where is the Kentucky trash talk this week?
You got to tune over to the
fan. They had signs that said "Bring on Tennessee," and then they lost.
Only one
to LSU, and then there's no trash talk.
Were they embarrassed by their spelling?
Doesn't it feel like this is a game
that's never stopped them before?
Yeah,
I feel like both sides are pretty confident, which makes for a good build up to a game. We haven't heard from any Kentucky fans this week. I get the sense that Kentucky likes their chances at home, and Tennessee fans are sitting there saying, "I like Tennessee's chances anywhere." This point, I mean, there's not much to doubt with this Tennessee team right now and their ability to get ready for a game and to close out close games.
But when it comes to just anticipating a college basketball game, this is right up there for me.
I'm scheduling viewing.
Yeah, it's like even Paul's scheduling viewing.
Even Paul is scheduling viewing.
Join our active roster and be part of Team Hutton 104.5 and help the fight to end blood cancer. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Tennessee Man and Woman of the Year campaign is the nonprofit's largest annual fundraiser, and all funds raised provide life-saving blood cancer research. Just visit 1045thezone.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Plus, check out Hutton's event calendar, special giveaways, and more. The campaign runs through April 27th, so please donate now. Make someday today, because beating cancer is in our blood. More info at 1045thezone.com.